How many of you don't want to miss anything that God has for you, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about today is this is that. So would you grab your Bible, go ahead and go to the book of Acts, the second chapter. And as you're doing that, let me say hello to the campuses that are joining with us today. It's been a great series already. Last week at Love and Truth Churches, we baptized 55 people on Maiden U Sunday last week. So at all of our campuses participated last week. And today's Holy Spirit Baptism Sunday, and already in the first service of those of us who do first service, I almost said early service. You never call that an early service, right? We have already had 30 people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. And our newest campus, our campus in Cleveland, had 3 people. It's our smallest and newest. They had 3 people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. We want to welcome Craneville. We want to welcome Savannah. All of our campuses, Adamsville. In fact, let me say this. I'm going to be at Savannah tonight at 6 o'clock with a word from the Lord. They've invited me to come speak. So if you're down in that area, I'd love to have you and come be a part of that. My name is Eddie Couples, and I'm the lead pastor, and I'm glad you're with us today. Let's do our confession together, if you would. Let's say it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking out of this aspect in the book of Acts, the second chapter, where we find the outpouring of the Holy Spirit taking place. There in Acts chapter 2, it says, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. That's what you get for preaching too many times. Like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And it goes through this whole thing. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues, and it goes through all of those things. And then the scripture says there's this great crowd that gathers around, and some of them start saying, well, this is that, and this is the other, and this is this. And the Apostle Peter said in verse 14 and 15 there, verse 15 and 16, he says, for these aren't drunk like you think they are, okay? He said, it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, we ain't got that drunk yet. I don't have time to explain that. Anyway, he said, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then he goes in the last day, says the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he talks about that. And so we begin this series talking about what it meant to be born again. How that Jesus tells Nicodemus in the book of John there, who came to him and he said, look, you got to be born again. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, you got to be born of the water, flesh, and you got to be born of the spirit, which is spirit. And it parallels, the natural birth parallels what Peter says in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When he says repent, which is conception or life, he says be baptized, which is that coming through the water and coming into a new place and receiving your identity and your authority, and then receiving the breath, which is parallel to the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Last week I talked to you about the promise of the Father, how that the Word of God says, for this promise is for you, for your children, and for everyone, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so today, I talked last week about the power of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. Today, I want to kind of get down and drill down a little bit into this. So would you look in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 4. I want to show you what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, all of them. How many? All. How many of you know that you can look in the Greek and the Hebrew and you can go the Japanese and the Chinese, and all still means all, right? All means everybody. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I want you to jump over to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is years later. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says about this whole aspect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? Some people say, well, just You ought to pray what you understand. That's not what he says. He said, I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Now, I want to talk today about what I think that the scripture talks about, which is a prayer language, okay? And I want to take a few moments to just deal with this for a minute, because it is such a topic within the evangelical church, because it's almost like we fight wars about things. How many of you notice we can nitpick the dumbest things, right? And we say, well, you know, my theology says this, and my idea says that, and my whatever. Here's what I'd ask us to do today. No matter what your background, what your heritage, no matter your theological persuasion today, could we take the next 30 minutes and first of all, just lower our, inhibitions or our, legalism or whatever. Let's let that come down. And also, let's allow the Word of God to speak to us today, okay? Because I'm going to spend a lot of time telling you what the Word of God says about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times people say, Pastor, why bother talking? All you're going to do is, you're going to upset some people, and some people won't come to this church because, we're one of those churches, and one of those churches. And if you just wouldn't talk about it, more people would come. Well, why should I bother talking about this? I want to give you three reasons that I bother talking about this. First of all, I believe that a prayer language, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is logical, okay? I believe it's logical because every kingdom, every strong kingdom has a common language, okay? The Word of God talks about that there are tongues of men and of angels. I think that the Scripture is quite clear that the language of the Spirit is the language of angels. And so it's logical that God would give us. If you are in Africa or you're in Asia or you're wherever, you may not can speak the language of the house, but you can all speak to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's logical. Secondly, it's sensible. Okay, I just like things to make good sense. Anybody else? I'm not one of those guys that says turn your mind off, and I like things to be sensible. And here's the deal. Every kingdom has a secure means of communication, all right? If you are an ambassador, there's what's known as a diplomatic pouch that comes to you from the president or secretary of state or whoever, and inside of that, nobody else can look at that and nobody else can read that except you. It's for your eyes only. Well, in the kingdom of God, we have a diplomatic pouch, and it's called praying in the Spirit. It's called your heavenly prayer language that God gives you so you can communicate to home base, and the enemy can't come in and he can't steal and he can't take away what you're praying in that moment, because he don't know what's going on, right? And thirdly is it's practical. I love things to be practical because every kingdom has power, doesn't it? If you're going to be a kingdom, you got to have power. Well, Jesus said to the apostles and those who were gathered there and on that day of him going back into heaven, he said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. That word there is dunamis. I tell you this all the time. It's the word where we get dynamite from. And so the Lord says there needs to be power. Now, he's talking to the apostles. He's talking to those who are already believers here. And he is saying to them, listen, I want you to understand this, that there is something that's going to happen that's going to be supernatural. And it is something I want you to experience. And he said, but I don't want just you to experience. He said, I want everybody, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, he said, I want them to experience it. So when you begin to study the scripture, what I find is that there is a sign in the book of Acts. When you study the book of Acts, you find that there is a certain sign, and I'll talk about it for a few moments, that every person who receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit receives. And that sign is speaking in tongues, okay? It is a language that is given to them by the Holy Spirit. It is not something that they have learned. They didn't go to class. They didn't, take Spanish for 6 months. They didn't go and take Swahili. It is coming from your Father above, who gives freely the Holy Spirit to us. In fact, the book of Acts, let's just kind of run through it real quickly. In Acts chapter 2, I've already read to you, this is on the day of Pentecost, that there's an outpouring from the heavenlies. There's a sound of rushing mighty wind. There's fire that appears unto them. But then it also says in Acts 2:4 there that they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues. Acts chapter 10, the Apostle Peter goes to a Gentile man named Cornelius. He is a centurion. He's a soldier. The scripture says he goes to his house after the Apostle Peter having to have a vision from God where God lets down a sheet and the angels and all this stuff comes. He finally gets there, and the Word of God says that he begins to preach. And the scripture says that as the Apostle Peter was speaking, that the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke with other tongues. In fact, they go back to the Jerusalem Council, and here's what they said. They said, "We know that they received the Holy Spirit because they received it like we did at the beginning." All right? So now you've gone from the book of Acts only being to Jewish converts, and now we find that Gentiles are also receiving, which is us by and large. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit being demonstrated there. Acts chapter 19, the scripture says that Paul, seeing certain disciples of John, said to them, now watch his question. He said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since?" Everybody say since. Since you believe. Now follow that. Follow the logic there. That means that you can be a believer. That means you can have repented. That means you can have been baptized in water and still not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You say, "Pastor, am I saved?" I covered that the first week. Right? Life begins when? At conception. Life begins when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life. In that moment, you leave the kingdom of darkness and you come into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But if I want to move into the fullness that God has, Paul speaking here to those disciples of John said, "Well, how were you baptized?" Now, evidently, for him to ask that question means baptism's pretty vital. Amen? Pretty vital. And they said, "Well, we were baptized under John's baptism." And he said, "Oh, wait a minute." He said, "John baptized under repentance, saying that there's one who's coming after me who's mightier than I am, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And the scripture says that at that point, he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And watch what it said, and they spoke with other tongues. Now, how many of you know that the scripture says, "Let everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses"? So I've just given you out of the book of Acts, as we see the New Testament church being launched, I've shown you that every place that this is happening, that there is a consistent sign that's taking place. Now, you say, "Well, what about Acts chapter 8? Glad you ask. Right? You say, "Well, Acts chapter 8, it doesn't say, all that." Well, here's what it says about Acts chapter 8. Let's go back to it. That Philip goes to Samaria and he preaches Jesus, the Bible says. And the scripture says that they repented and were baptized, but read the rest of it. But as of yet, the Holy Spirit had not come on any of them. I'm just quoting word. Once again, Paul shows us you can be a believer and not have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go real slow, and I just scared the campuses because they thought we lost their feed right then. I want you to understand that in Acts chapter 8, it says they have repented, they have been baptized, but as yet the Holy Spirit has not come upon any of them, and they call for the apostles who came, and when they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. You say, "Yeah, but it doesn't say what happened." I know. But here's what I do know. You keep reading, and it says Simon, who is a sorcerer, he is a practitioner of the dark arts, he comes to these apostles and said, "I'll give you money if you will give me that same power that you have, that when I lay hands on people, the same thing will happen to them." Now, let me just tell you something. If I lay hands on you and nothing happens, you're not going to want to buy any power I've got. Something's got to have happened in that moment for him to say, I want to buy that power. So what does this prayer language bring in our life? And I'm going to be quick with it today, so let's get ready. Hey, the first thing I want to say is I think that the power of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life is what I want to refer to as God's search engine. All right? How many of you ever Google anything? How do we get by before Google? I am so much smarter now. Am I the only one? I mean, I'd be driving down the road and I'll see a sign and I'll tell Sherry, Google that. What does that mean? What is that? And I mean, we may not even be using Google, but we're still Googling it. Right? We'll search it. I'll be watching a television program or something. I go, I've seen that person. Well, who is that person? I was at the movies the other day. I thought, I know that guy. Who is that guy? I Googled him. Found out who he was. So in our lives, we have the power of the Holy Spirit can Google you. It can bring some things to you. In fact, let me just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says this. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. See that? By His Spirit. And it goes on to say, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So when I'm praying in the Spirit, when I'm using my prayer language, the Spirit of God is bringing some things to me that I don't even know what's going on or what's happening in that moment. So first of all, it's God's search engine. Secondly, when we find this, secondly, you're going to see here is that it's also brings spiritual refreshing, okay? It brings spiritual refreshing. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Let me ask this question. Do any of you ever get tired? Any of you just ever want to quit? Am I the only one? Does anybody, let's just get really brave here. You ready to get brave? You want to tell the truth? Okay, I just thought the camp says, you guys tell the truth. You ever sometimes just say, I'm tired of living for Jesus? Uh-oh. God's going to strike him dead. No, he knows my thoughts before I even know them, all right? No, there are those moments. But here's what happens. The Word of God says that when you pray in the Spirit, you're spiritually refreshed. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 14. This is the Apostle Paul, okay, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Listen to what he says in verse 4. Anyone who speaks in tongues edifies. That word edifies means builds up themselves. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. So he says, look, you need both of these. You need to pray in the Spirit because you're built up. You're encouraged. You're strengthened. You're spiritually refreshed. Or what he's saying here is that you're supernaturally renewed. How many of you ever watched Popeye? Can I go there? I mean, you know, he'd get Brutus would be beating the stew out of him. But if he'd get in his back pocket, I don't know how that guy always had a can of spinach in his back pocket. Am I the only one that's so elementary? And he'd get that, you know, and and his muscle would pop and he'd just start wailing on Brutus, you know, just taking him down. Well, that's what happens when you don't go looking for spinach. That's what you're spiritually refreshed in that moment. The third thing that it does is it gives us access to spiritual gifts. Okay? 1 Corinthians, again, 12:8 says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Okay? And so what we find is that the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts. Now watch what the Apostle Paul says about gifts. The Apostle Paul, people say, well, I don't care if I have any gifts. Well, the Apostle Paul would take a little authority in your life and say to you, here's what he said. He said, desire earnestly the best gifts. He said, you ought to go after spiritual gifts. You ought to want spiritual gifts. And so spiritual gifts are released in my life as I pray in the Spirit. The fourth thing is this, is that when I use my prayer language, it brings revelation, okay? It brings insight into those moments that I don't know what to pray, I don't know what to do, I don't know what's going on. In that moment, I get revelation from God. John 16, verse 13 says this, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. And then he goes on to say, he's not going to speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So we get this revelation that comes to us. And there's a difference in revelation and knowledge. How many of you know that? Right? Revelation is something that comes up. How many of you have ever been reading the Bible and it's all of a sudden you've read a scripture maybe 4, 5, 10, 20 times and all of a sudden it comes alive? Ever had that happen? It's like in that moment, maybe it was you were going through something and the Holy Spirit just quickened it to you. Well, that's what happened. Remember that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, right? So as I pray in the Spirit, the Word of God is quickened to my spirit, right? If the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. How many of you know if you want to know what something means, you need to ask who wrote it? Right? Have you ever listened to songs and wondered what they meant? I'll use this one again. I'll get in trouble. I grew up in the 70s. I have tried for years. Somebody even tried to tell me between service and they're wrong. I've tried for years because I liked the song. They tell me all kind of stuff. Okay. But anybody else grew up in the 70s? Anybody beside me grew up in the 70s? There was a song called Hotel California. I know I'm not being spiritual for some of you. That song is the weird. I love the song, but it was just weird. It was strange. It was out there. You can check in, but you can't check out. And, you know, we're killing it with our knife. I mean, we got some stuff happening there. Okay? And I've even read what Glenn Frey and those guys said, Don Henley, all, and I still don't know what it means. All right? But if you want to... You said, I have never been in a church where a preacher can use Hotel California to talk about the Spirit of God. You've never been around me, have you? See, here's what I'm saying is, when you want to know what something means, the best way to know it is to go back to the originator of the writing. If the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God, don't you think He can reveal to us what is happening in there? The Bible says this. It says that God, in Genesis, it says God brooded over the earth, all right, the Spirit of God. Nothing happened as long as the Spirit just hovers. Nothing happens until a word is spoken. And so what was done in eternity past is happening now in my life and in your life. When you and I come to that place of understanding that when we pray in the Spirit, revelation begins to happen inside of us, and the Holy Spirit begins to hover over us, and the words that are expressed bring revelation, and we don't even know what it is, but the Spirit of God goes forth to perform the works of God. Listen, if the devil knew how powerful it was, he wouldn't want anybody to have it. Maybe that's why we spend so much time fighting about it. Number five, I got two more for you. It helps you to overcome weakness. We sing a song that talks about, fill me up, Lord, fill me up. Well, the Word of God in Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And it goes on to say, we don't know what we ought to be praying for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us for groanings, through wordless groanings. In other words, we don't know what we're praying, but the Spirit prays through us in this moment, okay? And so what's happening here, in this moment, you are agreeing with God's battle plan for your life. All right? And when you agree with God's battle plan, let me tell you what God's battle plan is: victory. Victory. And so when you pray in the Spirit, God says, okay, I'm bringing victory into your life so that you can see what I want. The sixth thing is this, is that when you pray in the Spirit, when you use your prayer language, you're praying God's perfect will. Do any of you ever find yourself kind of going off in prayer? Anybody that did not shake their head yes or say amen has never prayed. I pray. I like to pray. I enjoy prayer. But I'm telling you, I was praying this morning and went, what am I praying about? I was off, you know, chasing rabbits or something. I don't know what I was doing. It's like, okay, where were you, Eddie? Come back. Right? Romans 8:27 says this, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So if I want to pray a perfect prayer, the best way to do that is to pray in the Spirit. It gives me a direct line of communication, and it stops me from chasing all of these things and running around out there, on the pawpaw patch somewhere or whatever it is that we're doing, instead of coming to that place of finding out what it is that God says. You say, well, Pastor, okay, you've talked about it, and I see that the Word of God says it. How do I receive it? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I like to be practical, remember? Okay? I think Scripture gives us us the perfect way to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want to go to Luke, the 11th chapter, excuse me, not Luke, the 11th chapter, bring up the next, yes it is. Luke, the 11th chapter says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to them who ask Him the Holy Spirit? All right? So when we come to that place of understanding this, we've got to find ourselves as saying, you know what? I want everything that God has for me. Amen? Let me ask that question. How many of you want, all of you watching, how many of you want everything God's got for you? Right? I may ask you that two or three more times. Right? We want what God has. Now, let me say this about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's called, or prayer language, all these things. Here's what I want to say to you. You're not seeking an experience, but you're receiving a gift. It's all the difference in the world. I'm not trying to have an experience. I'm going to receive a gift that God has for me. So how do I get there? How do I see this? The book of John, the 7th chapter, verse 37 through 39 tells us how to get there. It says, on the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And then he goes on to say, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So how do I come to that place of accepting the Holy Spirit, accepting this gift that God has for me, and that it's not in your notes, but I want to just quickly from this passage show you something. The first thing, I've had people say, well, if God wants me to receive my prayer language, he'll just give it to me. Let me tell you, he won't. You want me to prove it to you? How many of you know that the Bible says that God wants everybody to be saved? Scripture says, I'll give you the scripture. Scripture says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But how many of you know for thousands of years people have been lost and not turning their life to God? Correct? God wants them to, but they're not doing it. Why? Because they're not willing. They're not coming to him, all these things. So if you want to receive your free gift, if you want to receive that gift that launches you into a place that you've never been in your life before, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to be thirsty. Are you thirsty now? See, you've got to be thirsty. In other words, here's what I mean by that. You've got to recognize that you've got a need. You say, well, I've been serving Jesus for 30 years. I've done great things, and I'm not discounting any of that. But you just said a minute ago, I want everything God's got for me. If I want everything that God's got for me, then I've got to be open and say, Lord, if there's more, I'm thirsty for more. So I've got to be thirsty. Secondly, I've got to come to Jesus. All right? Because he said, come to me. Right? Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Scripture's clear about that. So if I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I need to come to Jesus so that I can receive. Thirdly, is I need to drink. You can be thirsty, but you can look at this and say, yeah, but he's been drinking out of this, and I don't know what he's got. And I'm not sure what I got either. All right? But I promise you, if you've been in the desert for 3 days, you will not care what I've got. Am I right? I mean, you'll knock me in the head to get it. I have people all the time say, well, Pastor, do I have to receive that Holy Spirit baptism? No. Why would you ask it that way? It's like I'm standing up here and I got your name on a cashier's check for $1 million. And you look at your neighbor and say, do I have to have that? What? In fact, I guarantee you, I could get the biggest men in any of our campuses today, stand them at the front and say, the only way you're going to get this is to come through them. And I don't care, the littlest lady in here will take them out. Why? Because there's a gift that's $1 million. It's going to change your life. Could there be something that's better than $1 million that God says, it's yours, it's got your name on it, it's for all that I call? And you've been called today. And he says, what you need to do is you need to drink. The word drink there just means to actively receive. Not put my walls up, but say, Lord, I'm ready to receive anything you've got for me. Well, Pastor, I'm afraid I'll get something bad. Well, do you know what Jesus said about that? He said, if your child asks for bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? He said, if you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give to those who ask him the Holy Spirit? He said, it's yours. He's not going to let you get a counterfeit. He's not going to let you get something from the devil. He's your heavenly Father. He just wants you to receive. And lastly, you've got to yield. All right? If you're thirsty enough, you'll drink so quickly that it'll run out of you. Ever seen somebody like that? It's like they get so much, it just starts running down there. Well, that's what happens. An overflow is going to take place, and it's going to come out of your mouth as you see what your Father has for you and for your life. So in just a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity today to receive God's gift. How do I get there? Well, I've got to ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've got to believe that the Holy Spirit's for me. And thirdly, I've got to speak the language of the Holy Spirit. And for so many of us, that's the part that we struggle with. How can I speak something I haven't learned? You won't. He'll speak through you. He'll use your tongue. You can't just stand there and say, okay. As you're actively participating and worshiping him, his Spirit comes on you. Now, let me say this, and we're going to close. You can't bypass the process. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if you're not walking in relationship with Jesus today, you can't get his gift. So the first thing that I've got to say to you today, I've got to ask you a question is, are you saved? Because if you're not saved today, we want you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but first we want you to receive the gift of salvation. We want you to come into the kingdom of God today. So whether you're here at one of our campuses, in just a moment, we're going to give you the opportunity to come to know Christ today. And after we come into relationship with him, then we can receive everything that he has for us. And let me say this to you, to all of you who are watching, as well as those of you who are here. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the end. It's not like you get there and say, well, I've got... No. We are still growing. We are still learning. We're still moving into everything that God has. It's just another tool in the arsenal that God has for a believer. So to each and every one of us today, I want you to look at yourself. I want you to look at your heart and say, am I in relationship with God? And if not, then you need to get there. Secondly, if you're in relationship with the Lord, but you've never received your prayer language, you've never received your free gift that God has for you, my question to you today is this: isn't today a good day to get your gift? God is already pouring out his Spirit, not just at Love and True Church, but the Word of God says throughout the whole world. And you and I get to participate in that. And that's what I want for you today. So the greatest thing I can give you today outside of salvation is the truth about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen.